Big Herc Day. Adam Azer and Michael Herkimer are here. Al Melchior is stuck in the traffic jam from hell on the turnpike. So we waited a little while to get this thing started, and we'll wait a little bit more to hear from Al. But he'll be here soon. Good morning, Herc.
Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Doing quite well. You know what I did last night?
What'd you do, Adam?
You're a Mets fan, and the Mets have lost the most close games in baseball this year. I don't know exactly what the stat is, but they have had basically the most heartbreaking losses.
Well, it's mostly bad managing of the bullpen.
Well, last night, the Yankees, blew a tough one, and pretty much, their season's plummeting. I started watching South Park for the first time in like 4 years, and it is really funny. I turned off baseball. I was like, screw this. I've watched enough of Buck Farmer and the crappy
Yankees.
By the
way, isn't that the greatest name ever?
It is a great name, and I like him too. He got sent down, but he's a good pitcher. South Park is really funny. When was the last time you watched it?
High school, probably.
You need to get back on that. Now, let's talk baseball here.
I got two words for you.
All right.
Bartolo.
it's a good thing you're on the show today so you get to brag instead of just sending Al a text message and making him read it.
No, that was Michael H. from Fort Lauderdale. That guy makes a lot of sense.
He's a good guy, yeah. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put baseball podcast in the subject line. We'll talk about Trevor Bauer, season-ending Tulo news, probably season-ending cargo news. We got another DL stint for Manny Machado. Chris Archer had a great start. Kendrys Morales, I found there was really a lot to talk about from yesterday. So let's.
Yeah, man.
I want to talk about Tulo and Cargo and where to draft them next year.
Yeah.
But I want to wait for Al. So remind me when he gets in, okay?
All right, we'll go back to the start of the podcast.
But the news is Troy Tulowitzki has a torn labrum in his hip and will have season-ending surgery. And the Denver Post is reporting that Carlos Gonzalez is likely out for the year. His knee tendonitis is getting worse. So we'll look at that. Josh Rutledge, though. We kind of talked about that. I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air. But it just seems like when he gets extended looks, he doesn't do as well as, the small sample size. Oh, he's going to be good. And he's been terrible lately.
Isn't that crazy? We talk fantasy sports so much is that it just all melts together. We don't know when we're having these conversations. Like, we're having it in our dreams, talking about conversations about roster lineups.
Yeah, pretty much. But he's 26% owned, and he's 5 for 45 in August. And really, ever since Tulowitzki went on the DL, Rutledge has done nothing. So, would you look at Jordy Mercer or Josh Rutledge?
Oh, Jordy Mercer. I mean, I've been on the Jordy Mercer bandwagon for a few months. And, like we talked about earlier this week, when we were so glad you and I flipped Jordy Mercer for Javier Baez, which we're glad we did that. We got some power. But the thing with Mercer is he may not have the power, but the batting average has been there. And, I mean, he's, is really feasting on lefties. When there's a lot of lefties the Pirates are facing, he's a good start in deeper formats. Now, he's still not creeping up into a starting shortstop or starting middle infielder. Maybe in Roto, he can, occupy your middle infield spot in deep formats. But, Josh Rutledge is, every time we think he's ready to turn the corner, like you said, he just falls off the map again.
I'm going to throw out some names for you. Shallow leagues here.
Sure.
Ibar, Alcides Escobar, Danny Santana, Gene Segura, Asdrubal Cabrera.
Danny Santana is the best of that bunch.
Jed Lowry, J.J. Hardy, Xander Bogaerts, Solarte, Alcantara, Simmons.
I would have said J.J. Hardy, but we just don't know how bad the thumb injury is. It could send him to the DL.
Yeah.
I want to say Jed Lowry too, but Jed Lowry is also having hand problems, and he's playing through it. But before Jed Lowry got hurt, he was on the way up again, and he was a good option. Now this injury, a lot of question marks.
He's got an injury. Hardy's got an injury. Solarte left with an oblique strain.
Oh, man.
Mild oblique.
He was playing well, too, man.
Yeah, so, he might be your answer there if it's nothing serious, but Alcantara looks like a good option in that group.
Yeah, and the thing with Alcantara is he comes up as that huge week, and then he's just been consistent. Hasn't been great. If you look at his fantasy production, it's just been consistent, but it hasn't been anything spectacular. Yeah. So.
Well, it might be like a great game here or there, followed by two bad ones.
Right.
But at the end of the week, you get some steals, maybe some power. All right, and if you don't want Josh Rutledge, there's Brad Miller, Chris Owings.
Ooh.
Yeah, Stephen Drew.
You know who's this? I mentioned
Echeverria.
Earlier this week, I had ranked him too as Eric Sogard. Just for the fact that, again, a sleeper for maybe steals a little bit. He's been hitting for average lately. He hits in the bottom of the lineup, and I know you don't like guys that hit ninth, but you know, if you're desperate and you're looking for a short-term option, like if you go look at my waiver wire this week, I talk about chasing the hot streaks. Mm-hmm. This is the time of year where you can chase the hot streaks. And worst comes to worst, you drop them and go pick up somebody else to chase the hot streak.
You know, I think I'd rather have Zach Walters for Cleveland.
Yeah.
Walters is 3% owned and Sogard is 2% owned.
Oh, Zach Walters has – yeah, absolutely. If Zach Walters is getting the consistent playing time and he's showing some signs – of turning the corner, absolutely. It's just Sogard's been hitting for a few weeks now. So, like I'm saying, chase the hot streak while it lasts, and then you can just easily drop him.
Yu Darvish is on the DL with elbow inflammation. Texas is hoping he'll only miss two starts, but I'm skeptical. What's the point of rushing him back?
Yeah, exactly.
Hyunjin Ryu left last night's game with a glute strain. So
not Hyunjin Ryu.
Gentlemen, get your pain in the butt puns out there now. Manny Machado on the DL with a sprained ligament in his right knee, and he did have off-season surgery, but that was on his left knee. And Minnesota outfield prospect Byron Buxton suffered a concussion, had to be taken to a hospital after colliding with another outfielder while he was diving for a ball. And Buxton, number one prospect in baseball, arguably, just got promoted to Double-A.
And I thought we were going to talk on today's show because yesterday Ron Gardenhire went on MLB Network Radio, and they asked him about Buxton. And he said it's unlikely he gets called up, but he goes, I hope he gets called up this year. So he, you know, was hoping maybe a September call because he missed so much time this year. He needs the at-bats, but now it just looks like his season may have come to an end.
Well, Al's coming in.
All right, should we drum roll? Ta-da!
Yeah, sure, we can
look at him smiling.
Al, all right. There he is. So what was it, an overturned semi?
Yeah, that's what they were someone telling us, yeah.
That's what we heard. We got the inside scoop.
At least Al Melchior is safe.
Here's Al. Yes,
see you, buddy.
I am here. I'm safe. I couldn't even see what the problem was other than just there was a huge backup.
Overturned semi.
Yeah, okay.
We got the word for you.
Thank you.
Hopefully everyone's okay.
Well, as I just said to Jeff Tobin on my way in, the only thing worse than being stuck in a traffic jam is having your semi overturned, so got to keep that in perspective.
Yes.
But the other thing that's worse than being stuck in a traffic jam is being stuck in a traffic jam that you knew you need to avoid and you got stuck in it anyway.
You just forgot?
I just forgot to make the turn.
Yeah. You were so focused because you want to talk about Bartolo Colon that you were like, oh, man, I missed my turn.
First things first. Now we get to have this important fantasy baseball discussion. Troy Tulowitzki, Carlos Gonzalez. Where are you going to draft them next year? 12-team league.
Cargo, top of mind, I'm just saying third round.
Too low?
No, I think it's just right.
And too low?
I would still consider him as a late first rounder.
See, Mike,
surely you can't be serious. Wait, did you say a late first rounder?
Yeah.
Okay, no, seriously, surely you can't be serious.
I can, and stop calling you Shirley.
That's going to be detrimental to your team.
Why is this different from this time last year?
I didn't want to take him in the first round last year.
That makes you a better person and
didn't
fancy
he finish,
player than
but
I am.
You know how he didn't finish the season, right? Oh, he finished the season, I thought. I thought he came
maybe
back
the,
and
the,
finished
the, at the very end,
okay.
I think.
You know what, Al? There's something I didn't know about Tulowitzki until this year. I didn't know that his, 2009 leg injury was still affecting him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was just a series of injuries that was like, oh, this guy's really injury prone. But now he's got a torn labrum in his hip that he's going to have surgery on.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he'll be the same player, and I just think there are so many leg injuries that are going to cause him problems throughout his career that I just think he's too risky now for a first-round pick, and I don't even know that I'd take him before the end of the second round.
Well, it's the same type of injury that Beckett has, right? Torn labrum in the hip?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now Beckett's got the cysts and all that, and I mean...
I don't know.
I don't know either. So, and maybe I you know, when I get more information, I'll revise when I think I'll take Tulo next year. But the comparison I'm making here is that with Beckett, you know, once we knew, and I'm saying we because I think Scott felt the same way. I don't know, Kirk, if you did. Once we knew the nature and extent of Beckett's injury, we kind of wrote him off.
Yep.
But even with all of his injuries, Tulo's younger.
Yep.
And so that's why I in absence of more information, I'm not treating him that differently right now. But, yeah, maybe later today, maybe a week from now, you know, I'll realize this is more serious, and he shouldn't be a first-rounder.
His ADP next year, I mean, it's always impacted by how our rankings go and how our projections go and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just want to make the quick, I guess, comparison to, I think Tulowitzki is going to be a lot like Adrian Peterson was a few years ago coming off that major knee injury. Adrian Peterson, the Vikings running back, well, he slipped into the third round of most drafts. And it was really boom or bust at that point for fantasy owners. You know, it was at that point, it wasn't, I guess, you weren't giving up a first or second round. The third round was probably just right. And if he didn't pan out, you know, you move on. But if he panned out for everyone, he was probably one of the greatest finds in all of fantasy football history because of his, you know, season coming off the knee injury. So I think that's what's going to happen to Tulo and I absolutely Cargo as well. Mm-hmm. I think both of them are going to drop in drafts next year. And then fantasy owners are going to be like, well, this is a good point to take him. And if he does well, I'm a hero. If he doesn't, you know, oh, well, I went out on a limb.
I just think I understand the comparison.
Yeah.
But Peterson went in round three that year, and I'd take Tulowitzki in round three.
That's what I would, too. Absolutely.
Okay,
I'm saying he's going to drop, and then at that point, it's going to be the same thing. You know, boom or bust. You know, this is a good spot for Tulo. I hope he does what he does, and I look like a hero. That's my thing. Same thing with Peterson a few years ago.
This will be 3 years in a row finishing outside the top three at shortstop. Like, finishing fourth at shortstop is not a bad year by any means. And he did finish, let me see where he finished in 2012 in points leagues, but I think it was fourth.
This kills me too, man, because I own him in
2000, whatever it was.
Two leagues I'm doing really well in.
Sorry.
And I thought I would get him back in my lineup.
Hold on. I'm trying to finish this thought. Yeah, no, he was seventh in points leagues last year and fourth in Roto at shortstop. So this is going to be 3 years in a row finishing outside the top three. And if you're going to invest a first-round pick in someone, you certainly want him to finish in the top five, let's say. Mm-hmm. So, you know. For Tulowitzki, you expect him to be the number one or number two shortstop. I just think that the difference between him and Peterson, there are just so many injuries. Peterson tore his ACL, but he was a healthy player, you know, for his career. And now we know that torn ACLs aren't really what they used to be. But Tulowitzki's had leg problems for much of his career, and they continue to hamper him. I don't see how it's going to be any different. And I don't want to invest the first or second round pick in a guy that I expect to miss 30 games or more.
But you got to admit, he produces when he's on the field.
Of course he does. But so does everyone else I'm going to draft in the first or second round. They don't play shortstop.
Well, that is the key detail.
I get that. But also, if he goes down, he's hard to replace because shortstop is so shallow every year. If there's a better shortstop crop, maybe that would change my mind. But it's always a shallow position. So when you lose him, you're stuck with Josh Rutledge. You know, in many cases. Maybe you're lucky.
Rockies are.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you're lucky and you got Solarte or something like that. But still, you're not getting Tulo back. You're not getting a Tulo-type player back.
And I would say, by the way, now that Rutledge appears to be guaranteed of you know, an everyday job, I don't think he's going to be Tulowitzki. But I've got him in our podcast Listeners League. And I don't know. I don't view myself as being stuck with him.
You missed our conversation about Rutledge.
You're not stuck with him because, yeah, he could be like a top 12 caliber shortstop, but he's not Tulowitzki.
Yeah, and I wouldn't claim he was.
I know. But, okay, he's 5 for 45. I mean, we just talked about this. And don't you feel like Rutledge is the kind of guy that every time he gets an extended look, he starts slumping?
No, I feel like I'm going to be kind of more half glass full and say he's streaky. Yeah, he's had some miserable slumps in his brief career, but he's also had some incredible extended hot streaks too. So I don't think it's every time he gets a look. I think it's just he just gets into deep funks.
All right, Al's taking Tulo in round one. Herc says round three. I say maybe late round two, round three. Al's taking Cargo in round three. I agree.
Yeah,
Herc?
I agree.
And let me say something to a wrinkle in drafting Tulo that I didn't think about when you asked me, which is that if I'm taking him in round one, it's because I have pick like 11 or 12.
Sure.
And if I've got, or let's say 10 or 11, if I've got one of those picks, given the pattern here, I'm confident I get him on around the bend in round two. So realistically, I'm probably not taking him at 10 or 11 just because of perception.
Do you think Ian Desmond could go before Tulo?
I think he could. I don't know that he should.
Okay.
Stat of the day. Kendrys Morales is batting .440 with 2 home runs and 6 RBI against the Blue Jays this season. And less under .200 against every other team. So he's 33% owned. He's had a very good series against the Blue Jays. Morales has 5 hits, 2 home runs, and 2 doubles in his last 3 games. And they all came against Toronto. Do you think Morales could be a guy to pick up now that could give you a big boost down the stretch?
I do not.
No, me neither. I've really lost whatever confidence I had in him when he got signed by the Twins.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I think I'd rather go for a guy like John Singleton.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'd rather have Morales, but I'm not excited to have either one. Yeah.
Would you rather have Kenis Vargas?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's playing well. He's still batting 300, two homers.
Yeah, two homers, yeah.
He's got the power of multiple Kennys.
Since he started playing about 2 weeks ago, he's number 11 in points, number 6 in Roto at first base. Email of the day is from Adam Lane. I'm playing in a keeper head-to-head league, pretty much out of the playoffs, so I'm trying to get some good young talent. That being said, I picked up Josh Harrison a couple of weeks ago. I love that he hits for average with quite a bit of pop, has the potential to pick up some steals, and I love his eligibility. What do you guys think? Is Josh Harrison worth holding on to long-term, or should I start to shop him around for some more solid pitching before Harrison comes back down to earth?
No, I think you should keep him.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I think you should. If it's a keeper league, too, or just...
Yep, keeper league.
Yeah.
How do you view Harrison next year?
Yeah.
Well, okay, because I was a little confused because it sort of sounded like it was starting out that way, and then it was more like, should I keep him for the stretch run
right
this year?
Because he says he's pretty much out of the playoff contention. Do you find he's going to be one of the harder guys to rank next year?
Not really.
No?
I mean, the only thing would make it difficult for me is if it didn't look like there was a clear spot for him to play, and I think barring just a total flame out, they'll find room for him.
Yeah.
So do you think he's going to be productive? How are you going to rank him? I don't even know what positions he'll be eligible at next year. Third and outfield, I would assume.
Second, I think.
You think he'll have 20 games?
Yeah, good point.
Oh, look.
I tell you what, it'd be interesting because what about all the guys that are coming back from Tommy John surgery? And if one of those owners is in contention and he's willing to win now, and you give him a guy like Harrison, and he's willing to give you, I don't know if Matt Harvey owner would do it, but you know some of those other guys that are coming off Tommy John surgery.
I like the thinking.
So yeah.
Yeah, I really do.
So I'm sorry. Tell me where you rank him, third base next year. What do you think, Josh Harrison?
I'd say probably 10th to 12th, something like that.
It's interesting. I mean, here's the thing with third base. Going into next season, we're going to be like, oh, man, there's so many good options. And then we're going to have to remember what happened this year. So I think I'd be a little bit behind him. I think I'd be more mid-teens to, you know, the high teens.
I have him 14th now. I'm trying to think who I could leapfrog him over. Yeah, I guess maybe the same spot. Upper teens, upper to mid-teens.
16 games at second base this year.
He can do it.
He needs 20, right?
He needs 20, yeah. And if Alvarez,
he can do it.
I don't know. It all really all depends if Alvarez gets back to third base.
Yeah. All right, Wednesday standouts. Herc? Oh, you know,
Bartolo.
I got three pitchers owned in pretty much the same amount of leagues. Pineda, Tillman, Colon.
Mm-hmm.
They all showed some good signs yesterday. Tillman has an ERA around 2.40 in his last 13 starts. That's a long stretch. Pineda only threw 67 pitches yesterday. Hasn't thrown more than 94 pitches in any start this year. I think he only has 5 starts. But first big league start since April 23rd, 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, no walks, 4 strikeouts. And Colon, 4 of his last 5 have been 7 innings or more, and 5 combined earned runs. The other start was terrible, but mostly good stuff. So rank those three, Pineda, Tillman, Colon.
Go check my rankings. I like them all. I moved them all up this week really high. I mean, Colon's the highest for me. I have him 38th, and I'm not moving from that. But Tillman and Pineda, I think all three should be owned for the stretch run.
There, you haven't been back-to-back, by the way.
Okay.
Like 60 and 61.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's owned in all formats because those are like the guys on your bench or at the back of your rotation.
Wow. I am low man on Colon.
Where are you on him?
And I like him the best of the three. So I have him, let me control F that again, 77th.
And you have Pineda and Tillman behind. You have it outside your top 80?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, man. You're taking Mark Burley over Pineda and Tillman?
I think, yeah, I need to move. I need to move Pineda up, not ahead of Cologne.
Well, I think you...
So it's Cologne, Pineda, Tillman for me. And, yeah, no, I won't move Tillman up. I'm not buying this at all. This is...
Why?
Why?
13 starts.
Yeah. I'm not an ERA-niac.
I mean, I look, well, the strikeouts have been... They weren't good last night, but they've been better lately.
Not that good.
Not great. Yeah. But you know what, Al? How many times do we have conversations about pitchers that aren't really striking guys out, that are available on waivers?
Yeah, and if you, you know, rank them all up, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't think he's in my top 10. He's not Doug Fister. He's not Henderson Alvarez. He's not Bartolo Colon. So, yeah, in terms of a guy whose relative pitch to contact, I mean, it's maybe a little bit of an exaggeration, but he doesn't really stand out in any way.
Sure.
And the one way that I worry that he would stand out is with a high fly ball rate.
Yeah,
and
he doesn't
have Colon's control to compensate for it.
And his fantasy value last year and in the past has really been the wins. He had 16 wins, and that really helped him. The thing I just like about Tillman is, you know, he struggled, and Buck Showalter said he cleaned up his mechanics. You know, he got back to pitching like he was a 16-game winner, and over his last 13 starts, he's looked like that guy. So,
okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying it at all for Tillman.
Interesting. Chris Archer, 12 strikeouts, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 12 Ks at Texas. Kind of interesting. He's about 45th best starting pitcher this year with a 3.24 ERA and 135 strikeouts in 144 and two-thirds innings. He does have a 1.28 whip. That's not good. So your general thoughts on Chris Archer? We don't talk about him much.
Really disappointing. He's just been all over the map with his starts. You know, he'll come off this start and throw him an okay start, and you're just, like, scratching your head like, you know, he can't carry that momentum. I've been really impressed with him and Smiley this week going down to Texas, and both of them performing really well. I did not see that coming at all.
I think Archer's been more consistent.
Sure.
Then you give him credit for.
I think I have him ranked in the 50s, I believe. So, yep. I mean, I'm not totally down on him. I love his potential, but I just haven't been able to move him out of that range.
Michael Hercom, 50th.
All right.
Me, 45. Scott White, 45.
Sure, yeah.
There's consensus here. And you said he's one win away from being top 40, so.
Yeah, if he had one more win, he'd be about 40.
We're buying the season to date production. That sounds about right. Yeah. But I agree with you, Herc. The consistency bothers me with Archer, only because it's not that I don't think that he can be this good or better, but I don't know what to expect from him in terms of, you know, looking at matchups and things. Is he a ground ball guy or a fly ball guy? Is he a control pitcher or, you know, power pitcher? Because he's gone through long stretches where he's been all those different things.
And this has followed his career path, because remember, he was at one point the number one prospect in, was it the Cubs or Rays system, or maybe both at one time.
Cubs at first, yeah.
Right, right. And then he, you know, he gets to AAA and he struggles, and we're like, oh, maybe he wasn't the best prospect. And then he starts pitching like the best prospect again, and it's just like
terrible,
you know,
control of the minors.
Exactly.
Called up and you know, like, became a really good control pitcher for a while.
Right. It's been bizarre for him, but you see the potential and the 12 strikeouts, and that's.
Well, I'll tell you what I like with Archer here. I'm looking at Brooks Baseball. He's throwing his changeup more, and that was something that Brian Anderson, the Rays announcer, kept pointing out earlier in the year. When I was watching a lot of Archer's starts, that he was a two-pitch pitcher, fastball, slider, and he wasn't going to be able to get away with it. And just looking at his game logs, like in May, he would throw his changeup 1%, 2%, 0% of the time. Last night, he didn't use it much. I guess he didn't need it. But now we're talking about 9, 10, 12, 13% over his last 5, 6 starts. That's good. I always like to see guys expand their arsenal a little bit. And I think it's an issue with year two pitchers, that sometimes they're not complete enough. And Archer, I hopefully is, you know, getting more complete.
He completes you.
Yeah. Travis d'Arnaud is 57% owned since being promoted on June 24th, since being recalled. He is the number 4 catcher in points leagues, number 3 in Roto. He has the third most home runs with 7. He has the most runs scored with 21. And, again, 57% owned. So should you be dropping guys in one catcher leagues to get Travis d'Arnaud, like Salvador Perez or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually have d'Arnaud ranked ahead of Perez now. I think I've got him ranked 7th.
Yep. You moved him up to 9th, d'Arnaud. At least in head-to-head.
Okay, ninth. Well, so, then that, I think that would actually put him behind Perez.
Yeah, we were having this conversation yesterday because I've been on the Darno bandwagon since he came back from the minors. And I go to Al. I go, Al, welcome, buddy, to the Darno bandwagon. This is great. So I'll let Al have all the glory today,
well,
man.
Okay, and I'll clarify my rankings. Yeah, I do have Darno ninth, Perez eighth. So they're close. You know, but I wouldn't – I mean, given that Perez hasn't really caught on yet this year – yeah, I would actually wouldn't have a problem in one catcher league swapping him out for Darno to see if it, how it works out, because I don't really doubt Darno's ability to hit for power, and if Perez is going to overtake him in production, it's going to be on batting average.
Yeah.
I think Perez could have decent power too, but not like Darno. He's a bona fide number one catcher now, and it's criminal that he's not even 60% owned.
And if you're in deeper one catcher leagues, we talked about this too, and you said you're not on that bandwagon yet. Tyler Flowers, White Sox catcher, ever since he went to Specs, you know,
Tyler Flowers is bad.
No, look what he's done over the last month.
Great. Look what he did in the first month.
I know.
Look what he did in the next three.
I know, but look at his minor league production. You can't say over that long a stretch in the minor leagues that all of a sudden this guy just loses it. It's like Darno. I mean, Darno couldn't get going either. I know Flowers has been around longer in the majors, but you have to chase the hot streak this time of year.
No.
You have
not
to chase.
Not with Tyler Flowers.
You can easily pick.
Who are you dropping for Tyler Flowers?
If you're struggling at catcher, let's say you have John Jasow. Let's say you have Derek Norris as your one catcher. You chase the hot streak. You go pick up Tyler Flowers. You ride the hot streak till it's over, and then you go pick up the next catcher. You have to make these decisions.
Unless
at this
somebody
point of the
picks
year.
Up Derek Norris.
And Derek Norris and is not coming.
Derek Norris, by the way, I now have in my top 10.
Why? He hasn't done anything. I mean,
he hasn't hit for power. You can't say he hasn't done anything because he's hitting for average this year. He's reduced for the second year in a row. He's reduced his strikeout rate dramatically. And the knock on this guy as a minor leaguer was great power. Mm-hmm. But is he ever going to hit more than 200?
Sure.
And now he's become a decent contact hitter. He's not popping up all the time, but he still has the power. He hasn't shown it as much this year as you'd like to see, but it's there. And when you look at the skill set and you compare against other guys, okay.
It's been a month, and Tyler Flowers is a top six catcher in both formats. It's the same thing with Bartolo Colon.
What's his BABIP? Over that period.
I don't know. Do you know?
It's close to 500, I think.
Okay.
It's very high.
But
400, 500. It's very high.
I'm going to keep going on, and you can read my column, but this is the time of year you have to chase the hot streak.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you chase the hot streak, you end up getting a bad player at the end of his hot streak. You start him for a week, and he buries you for a week.
A catcher, you're talking about a back.
This is what happened with Josh Reddick with me last week. I chased the hot streak. I put Josh Reddick in my lineup. He got like three hits the entire week.
Well, thank you, because this chasing the hot streak stuff drives me crazy, because it assumes that the recent past predicts the future.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
There is some merit to chasing hot streaks if you're not dropping anyone that good,
right?
But if you're dropping someone that you're not going to get back,
Derek Norris
like if you're
is
in
not
this
somebody.
Deep catcher league and
Derek
you drop
Norris
Derek
is
Norris,
not some, somebody you have to worry about.
He's so much better than Tyler Flowers.
He really is.
Derek? Go look up his. I don't have a computer. Go look up his fantasy
production.
We
did it. He was in three down like yesterday or 2 days ago. He's been bad. I get that. He's been really bad for a while.
Catcher is so bad.
I can't fault
you. If you don't have like one of the top 10 guys we're talking about, it's just. Go run and do whatever. I mean, listen, if you got to make the playoffs, you got to make these decisions.
We got to have some sort of wager on this, because I feel so strongly about Derek Norris just obliterating Tyler Flowers' production wise rest of year.
Yes, okay. The wager is on. The wager is on. Fantasy points from here on out, or Roto Rank from here on out. We'll do both. August 14th.
We'll figure out the terms.
You think Flowers is going to be better rest of season?
No, I say you need to chase the hot streak because Derek Norris will stay on waivers. I guarantee it.
All right. I honestly don't necessarily disagree with that. I just don't think I would make Tyler Flowers my.
I'm just saying because I get questions on it on Twitter. If you're looking for a catcher right now, Tyler Flowers is a guy that Tyler Flowers or AJ Pierzynski. And at that point I'm like, just chase the hot streak with Flowers.
That's fine.
So,
all right. I just want to address Herc's point, though, because Norris is, I would say, about 70%, 72% owned Flowers is at, what, 30-something?
But how long has he been – this poor production, and how long Fantasy Owners really going to put up with this?
I'm sorry. If he's still, after this slump,
yeah,
still on 72% of CBSSports.com rosters, I don't see how you can have confidence that you'll put him on waivers and he'll stay there.
If you want to drop for Darnold, that's one thing.
Absolutely.
Flowers.
I mean, but Darnold is just – he's an awesome catcher. And I'm saying that about a Met player. But then again, I'm a huge Bartolo Colon fan, so.
All right, injuries, news, and notes. Moving on here. Jason Worth going to be out a few days after receiving a cortisone injection in his shoulder. Sprained AC joint for Worth. Michael Bourne hoping to return tomorrow. Avisail Garcia should be back soon. We have an email about Avisail Garcia. I'm going to read it right now if I find it. It's from Adam. Dear Wacky Reference numbers 1, 2, and 3, what should we realistically expect to see from Avisail Garcia? Avisail Garcia. He's threatening to come back as soon as this weekend. What say you?
Well, because this is so much, I mean, he wasn't supposed to be back this year at all.
Yeah.
So it always concerns me when a player comes back way ahead of schedule like that. Seems like it doesn't work out well most of mm-hmm. the time.
Yep.
But best case scenario, I think maybe he hits around 300 with not a lot of power.
Yeah, I'm like you said, I'm really surprised. And again, I go back to the Mets, but you know, this Jeremy Hefner, you know, re-injures his elbow again, and now they're just like, whoa, Bobby Parnell and Matt Harvey, let's take a step back here and let's not rush back. And you kind of wish the White Sox, because this guy's got a bright future.
Yeah,
and do you really want to risk it? And yeah, I don't know who you're dropping to go pick up Garcia. You maybe AL only is about the only format where you want to stash him on your bench. Maybe
Hiroki Kuroda will have his upcoming start skipped. You think he's droppable for a guy like Tsuyoshi Wada or Kyle Hendricks or any of these starting pitchers that we like?
As a streaming option, yeah.
Okay. Kyle Loesch left his start with an ankle injury. Mentioned Solarte has a mild oblique strain. Solarte was playing shortstop. Amarista replaced Solarte at short. Chris Nelson was at third for the Padres. J.J. Hardy, and they had a lefty on the mound. I don't know if that had anything to do with that lineup. J.J. Hardy was out again with a thumb sprain. And Chris Davis, third base eligible now.
Yeah.
He also flew out to the wall, and he hit a ball pretty hard, foul. So he's having better swings lately. Yoenis Cespedes day-to-day with a bruised hand. Dexter Fowler came off the DL, and Domingo Santana was sent down to AAA. Two starting pitchers made their Major League debuts last night and were sent to AAA after the game. Buck Farmer for Detroit. Andrew Chafin for Arizona. Do you have any interest in them long-term? I will definitely say that I thought Buck Farmer's outing was a lot better than the final line.
Yes.
However, you do have to worry about if he's going to be able to get through lineups 2-3 times because he faltered in like the fifth inning. That said, maybe it was the fourth inning. That said, Farmer, Chafin.
I definitely was impressed by Farmer's start. And I mean, I'm not interested really in either rest of season because I just don't think there's opportunity there. But in terms of Dynasty League, I'm definitely interested in Farmer.
I'm just interested in when Cal Farmer's coming up to the majors.
Younger brother.
No.
I actually think Farmer, I think Verlander.
I just messed up his thought.
No, I don't want to say anything too strong here, but I'm just going to say it. I think Verlander's going on the DL. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think Farmer, like, if you're in a really deep league and you just want to speculate on somebody, he or Robbie Ray could have more of a role. I just don't believe teams with injuries. I'm so skeptical. And a pitcher gets a shoulder injury and he's been pitching like crap, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes on the DL.
Yeah, well, I feel pretty good about Robbie Ray as an AL-only option. But the thing is just you would need Sanchez and Verlander to both be out at the same time.
For both of them to come up. Right, but I think Farmer was better than Ray last time out. And Ray was really up and down in the minors.
Yeah, I'll agree with all that. But I don't know if Farmer did enough to, because clearly Ray was higher on the depth chart, mm-hmm. got the earlier call up.
Gotcha.
You know, much mm-hmm. more time in the minor leagues. But no, you make a good point. I think there'd be nothing wrong with a current season AL only pickup for Farmer.
Have you guys talked about dropping Anibal Sanchez in leagues you don't have a DL spot?
No way.
We haven't. No, I wouldn't.
Why well, you know, just you? For the fact that, so, and it was early August where they said he'd be 3 to 4 weeks. So maybe we're looking at early September, and that we don't know if is, maybe he'll just start throwing, then he's got to go to rehab. So maybe you're thinking mid-September, he's not going to be back for the Tigers. And Kyle Hendricks is out there, and you need help now. I mean, can you really afford? And you're on the cusp of making the playoffs. You're trying to make a championship run. I mean, you're talking. And then when he comes back, is he going to be the Anibal Sanchez he was before he got hurt?
Which frankly was disappointing.
Right, he was struggling a little bit. It's interesting, right? I mean, it's an interesting scenario.
I really can't imagine the scenario. Because remember, we're talking about DL stash. So picking up Hendricks, it's not at Sanchez's expense.
No, but he is saying
no DL
if you
stash.
Can't
yeah.
stash him.
If you can't,
maybe your DL's
I still
full.
Can't imagine doing it.
I'm in a league where I'm considering dropping George Springer. First of all, it's a minus full point for strikeout league. And he's shut down for 2 weeks. Not coming back in 2 weeks. Shut down for 2 weeks. And again, I mean, it is a stretch run. So I get that. Yeah. I'm going to try to avoid it.
Sure.
I don't want to drop a talent like that. But, these hitters that have been out for so long, they come back. You can't expect them to just pick up where they left off. Oftentimes, they struggle. Look at Trumbo, for example. Bryce Harper. You know, guys struggle big time when they have extended absences. All right. Tommy La Stella was out of the Atlanta lineup. Phil Gosselin played second base and batted second. Andrelton Simmons returned and had one hit and two RBI. And Jason Hayward batted leadoff. So we'll see what happens there in the Braves lineup. It was annoying that Simmons, without La Stella in the lineup, couldn't even make his way to number two in the batting order. Brandon Phillips set for a rehab assignment tomorrow. Norichika Aoki, for all you daily leaguers, is batting .358 against lefties this year.
He's also just been batting well, period, lately.
Yeah, he's pretty hot. Brandon Moss sat for a lefty. Nate Freiman was at first base. Kyle Blank should be back soon. I'm glad Moss sat because Jason Vargas threw a complete game shutout yesterday. So I guess it was a good time to say. But, I don't like that. I'm not really glad he sat. Just it happened to be a good day. I don't like that they sat him for Nate Freiman. It does make me concerned that Moss might not start against lefties.
When I was doing my rankings this week, I looked at his production over, 6 weeks now, and it just hasn't been Brandon Moss-like.
No, not at all.
No.
Now, the good news is, if for Roto League owners, he still finished as a top 12 first baseman last year while sitting against lefties.
Sure.
So if he mashes righties, he should be okay. And the Mets had a cool promotion. I watched the game last night for a little bit, and did you see any of it? Did you see when Bartolo Colon grounded out, but
no.
Desmond booted it, and then Colon started running because he realized he had a chance, but he still got thrown out because he's so slow? They had a 12-year-old kid doing play-by-play.
Oh, wow.
And I think once a year they do this. They give some kid a shot to do play-by-play. It was funny.
I thought
it was kind of cool.
I thought you were going to say they give away toy trucks that have Philly logos on them.
Oh, no. I know they do that. But that kid got to call the Bartolo Colon fake hustle play.
So it would have been like Herc if I was 12 years old, cheering on Colon.
There's a ground ball. He was actually pretty good for a kid. All right, three up, three down, rotation, here we go. Adam Dunn went 1-for-3 with a home run. He's homering a little bit lately, and he's got 19 on the year. He's 42% owned. Do you like him?
No.
No.
Would you rather have Kenneth Vargas or Adam Dunn?
Yeah, I'd rather have Kenneth Vargas.
Absolutely.
I think he could have similar power and better batting average.
Mark Trumbo batting .325 with a home run, 9 RBI, 7 walks, 11 strikeouts. Great ratio for him. And 3 doubles in August. Do you feel like he's about to go on a power binge?
Last week, he was one of my starts because they faced 4 lefties, and he did really well against the lefties. So, this is Mark Trumbo. He's a hot and cold hitter, and it looks like he's on a hot streak now, so start him.
Carl Crawford, 30% owned, went 2-for-4 with a steal. Last 4 games, he's 10-for-16. With 1 extra base hit, it was a double. 3 RBI, 4 runs, and 1 steal. That's in his last 4 games. Encouraged?
Not especially. No.
Knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. But you asked anyway.
3 down. Billy Hamilton. Last 28 days, not even a top 60 outfielder. Since the All-Star break, he's 188, 210 on base, 260 slugging. 13 runs in 24 games, which is good. 6 steals, which is fine. 3 walks, 25 strikeouts. That is terrible. He is really cold. On the year, number 9 outfielder in Roto, number 24 in points. Any concerns about Billy Hamilton?
Not really.
No, this is just this is the baseball god saying time for a cold streak.
Starling Marte went 0-for-3 last night at Detroit. And on the year, .261 with 5 homers, 37 RBI, 47 runs, 23 steals. in 95 games. Terrible walk to strikeout ratio per usual. You know, last year, 19 points better in batting average, 5 points better in OBP, and the slugging percentage was .441 last year. It's only .394 this year. I don't know, other than the injuries, is Starling Marte a bust this year?
Yeah, I've had him on our 12-team head-to-head. He's been on my bench for several weeks. I know he's on the bereavement list a few weeks ago, so I don't want to speculate about what's going on away from the field. But hasn't he been playing better lately? I thought like last
week
he had,
bit,
you know,
a little bit, but
yeah, they brought
but nothing,
the
nothing
up,
great.
Yeah, no, yeah, I've you don't know many times because I've been so hit by injuries in that league that I wanted to drop him, and I said as soon as I drop him, I guarantee somebody's gonna go pick him up. So he's still at that level, right, Al?
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know. You drop him. Just saying, like, is he still a must start? He's only starting 58% of
No.
I think it is fair to call him a bust.
Yeah. Mild bust, maybe.
Yes.
How about Jed Jerko? Remember when he was like the man? Well, since he homered in two straight games at the end of July, he is batting .279. I know he had four hits yesterday. .340 on base, .372 slugging, but this is in the month of August. Four doubles, no homers. So he's back to really disappointing fantasy owners. 55% own.
It's a couple weeks. You know, it's hard to.
But it's really the entire season minus a couple weeks. Where he was hot. Minus like a week where he was hot, if I remember.
Yeah. All right, but he hasn't even really been back all that long. So we're talking about small samples all the way around.
I think I have the lowest in the rankings on him. I sat there the other day and I was like, can I really afford to move him up that much?
All right, yeah. So like Jerko or would you want Brandon Phillips when he comes back?
No, I'd rather have Jerko.
Yeah, because, you know, Phillips has been sitting so long. I'd probably go with Jerko.
Jerko or Colton Wong?
Colton Wong. I do have Wong higher than Jerko.
You have Jerko 27th. My goodness.
I'll tell you.
Al has him 17th.
Yeah, I tell you what. I told you a few weeks ago I wasn't really buying, you know, his hot streak when he was coming back, and I'm still about that. I just don't know. He plays in a bad park, bad lineup. It's just, I don't know where the upside is
Not
here.
Not a bad park for lefties. Right?
That's right. That's right. So. And, yeah, I have Jerko ranked a little higher than Wong. I would start Wong over Jerko right now.
Sure.
But if it's a roster decision, I'll go Jerko.
Cool.
Jerko, of course, is a righty. I don't know why I thought he was a switch hitter. He's a righty. No. Sorry.
I thought you were just making a random observation there.
No, my bad.
Random observations with Adam Azer.
Rotation. Jose Quintana had a pretty good game going until that you know what? I don't know if it was a horrible call. Controversial call at home plate. Maybe it's not a good rule. I don't know about the call. By the letter of the law, they probably got that call right. Anyway, he had a shutout through six, ended up with four runs in 6 2/3. Just hasn't been great lately. Failed to pitch six innings in each of his previous two starts. Any concerns at all about Quintana?
No. And if anything, I'm slightly encouraged because he's had this thing going on over the last several weeks where the sinker has been pretty effective, and I didn't really buy into the hype that was building when he was on the red hot streak. But in terms of just how I've seen him, you know, from start of the season going forward, I've actually grown more and more encouraged.
Nice. I finally moved him up in my rankings, so you'd be happy about that, Al.
All right, Ian Kennedy, Scott Kazmir. Are you worried about either of those two guys? Kazmir, great year. Number 12 starting pitcher in fantasy, 105 whip, .278 ERA. But last four starts, kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
24 2/3, 29 hits, 14 earned runs, 5 walks, and only 11 strikeouts in 24 2/3. And then Kennedy, 2 walks yesterday, but he's been wild lately.
Yeah, Kazmir really hasn't been striking out that many guys this season. I think he started off with a pretty good rate, and it's kind of slowly tapered off. But he's been pretty consistently good anyway.
That's why I'm encouraged by this. And yeah. I'm one of those guys, and I said it just a little bit a while ago, that baseball, you know, brings you back down. It humbles you. And everyone needs a cold streak. And I know it's coming at a bad time for fantasy owners, and they don't want to hear this. But, look, he plays on a top contender. It's just a little bit of a cold spell. I'm not worried about Kazmir either. I guess I'm more concerned about if he's going to stay healthy finally.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's always a concern. But, yeah, the lack of strikeouts is really, for me, what keeps me from putting him in you know, like the top 12, top 15.
Okay. We only got about 5 minutes left, so let's talk about some fringy starting pitchers here that we haven't discussed, such as Jason Vargas, A.J. Burnett, Trevor Bauer, who had a great start at against Arizona. His last three starts were terrible, though.
Revenge.
Arizona's got to be the best matchup in – I mean, are they the best matchup in baseball right now?
Right now they probably are, yeah.
Eovaldi, two earned runs, four runs total. Masterson was good. Peavy, Gibson, Wada. Crap, I'm sorry it took so long to talk about Wada. But he's got a 2-1 record, 3.15 ERA, and 30 strikeouts and 34 and a third. 12% owned. So who do you guys like?
Just real quick. Yesterday, Adam Wainwright went on MLB Network Radio, and he goes, Justin Masterson, mark it down, going to have a good start tonight. I watched his bullpen session. He's gone back to what he does best. And what happened? He went out and threw a great start against the Marlins. You know, the Marlins are one of those matchups that can be they'll be really good. They're like an average team. You know, I've seen guys have really good starts, really bad starts. You just don't know every time. Like Wainwright the other night against the Marlins. So I'm encouraged when Adam Wainwright, who's an excellent pitcher, sits there and says, you know, has basically clairvoyant, said he's going to have a good start, and he goes and has a good start. You kind of, that's intriguing, especially on a contender. Is, you know, Justin Masterson a sleeper down the stretch now?
Yeah, there's nobody on this list I'm really that crazy about, and probably the one I actually like the best is Vance Worley.
Yeah.
And this was not a start, really, that's going to help solidify his position when Cole comes back next week. So that even tempers my enthusiasm for Worley a little bit. But yeah, no, I like Wada. I think he's very underowned. I think he's an okay streaming option when he gets two starts.
Which he has next week at the Mets and home against Baltimore.
Well, how about that?
In the bullpen, Joe Nathan walked two in a scoreless inning, and then he – what do you call this? He did this to the crowd.
That's what you have in the notes here.
Did he flick them off?
Pretty much.
By the way, I just overlooked Kyle Gibson, who I've ranked above everybody else I just talked about.
Oh, Kyle Gibson, okay. I may not have said his name. Sorry.
You did.
Can I say forget and then that? You don't have to bleep that out, do you?
He gave the F-U sign, but not with the finger,
there.
With the chin,
yeah.
To the crowd. And deep leagues, Alex Avila is batting .306 with three homers in August. Anthony Renato
Not very good.
No. Brett Oberholzer has been pretty good. He's 8% owned. Travis Snyder, 5% owned. He's got three home runs in his last three games. Brendan Bosch drove in two, but didn't have a hit yesterday. And that's it.
Deep leagues, I'm just going to throw out two names. Outfielders, Matt Dendecker and Jordan Schaefer. Schaefer's getting regular playing time for the Twins now, and his stolen bases. I mean, I've been there. I'm not saying he's going to hit for power, hit for average. But if he gets on base, apparently he's got the green light every time he's there. So maybe a sneaky option for steals. And I just like what Dendecker did when he was in the minors. And he switched his – he shortened his swing. And it seems to be working for him. So he's deep leagues. Those two, I picked him up in our 2014 T-League, both of them. So I'm intrigued. So
Daniel in North Carolina is faced with a dilemma that may bring sportsmanship and honor into – you know what? Saving it for tomorrow. Yeah, Daniel, I'm saving it for tomorrow.
Oh, jeez. Starting getting worked up.
Nick B. says, hey, Francis, Malcolm, and Reese. But come on.
Are they Witherspoons?
Oh, no, no. That show with Bryan Cranston.
Oh.
Malcolm in the Middle. Yes.
How do you not remember the name of the show? Malcolm. And he's in the middle.
I'm an old man, all right?
I was wondering if I should keep Chew at my DH or pick up Josh Hamilton or Navarro. In a 10-team standard league.
That's tough because if I've got Chew in a 10-team league, I'm looking for a replacement, but I don't like either of those in a 10-team league.
Not even Josh Hamilton?
Especially not Josh Hamilton.
Chew's been terrible.
I hold out more hope. Chew's been a little better lately.
Nah.
Hamilton
striking
just,
out so much.
So does Hamilton, and he's been doing
that
for...
Yeah, but at least you get home runs.
Not really.
Hasn't Hamilton been bad, too, since he got plunked on the hand in Tampa Bay?
I think he's just not that good, man.
Yeah. So I'd say keep Chew over those guys, but that's not really an endorsement, Chew.
I think I'd go Hamilton. I don't know. Hopefully he'll turn it around.
Here's one from Mac. I need to drop a pitcher when I activate Paxton. No, do not drop Gio Gonzalez.
Nope.
Actually, well, these are pretty good pitchers. Gio, Kluber. Oh, just put Darvish on the DL.
Perfect.
That should help. But if not, gosh,
No,
drop Paxton.
Then drop Paxton. But, yeah, just put Darvish on the DL and enjoy Paxton.
Would you rather have Paxton or Ventura rest of season?
Paxton. Actually, you know what?
No, I think Ventura.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, you know, are they going to shut him down or they're not? They're going to let him run wild?
They say they're not going to.
All right. I'm a huge James Paxton fan, so.
Sorry for the shorter show. Got to go. See you later.